morning's scripture reading comes from Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. That's Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed.
In our culture today, there's a strong force of political correctness and subjectivism that threatens religious truth. It is often frowned upon nowadays to suggest that there is objective truth and that there are consequences for violating such truth. Unfortunately, such an attitude has, on many occasions, infiltrated the church. Some claim that subjective truth is something that, some claim that subjective truth is viable, that we can make our own gospel truth. If your truth differs from mine, then there is no cause for concern. In other words, there are many gospels. You believe what you want to believe about the gospel, I'll believe what I want to believe, and we are both headed to heaven. Others may claim they believe in one gospel, but there is no reason to be so dogmatic about defending it. Don't judge others, they might say. We are all under the Christian umbrella, and so why be so stubborn about the doctrine of Jesus Christ? The book of Galatians, written from Corinth approximately 3 years after Paul's visit with them, addresses the notion of a subjective gospel and one's attitude towards it. Ordinarily, in Paul's letters, words of thanksgiving would be found after his opening remarks or his greetings, as we see in chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. We see such thanksgiving in books like 1 Corinthians, where there were numerous problems in the church. However, in the book of Galatians, we don't see thanksgiving. In the book of Galatians, after a simple greeting, Paul quickly addresses the idea of a subjective gospel, the idea that there is another gospel. Rather than expressing satisfaction, he expressed stupefaction, overwhelming amazement at what they were doing. The gospel of Jesus Christ was being threatened, and the souls of men were at stake. Therefore, Paul reminded the brethren of the dangers of false doctrine. What are the dangers of false doctrine? We all know probably someone that believes that they are a true Christian, but they are abiding in false doctrine. What's the dangers? Can we believe what they believe? Can each one believe what they want about the gospel and still be headed to heaven? Paul reminds us here in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 and following, that there are many dangers to false doctrine. The first one being is that it causes one to be removed from God, verse 6. He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Notice that they had been removed from God. He says, you are removed from him that called you. That word removed means to translate, to exchange, to change sides, figuratively, to pervert. In Jude chapter 1 and verse 4, it is translated turning. Their apostasy had begun and was presently in progress. But I find it interesting that Paul didn't say, you are removed from me. Or even simply that you are removed from the doctrine, though that is true. Or that you are removed from your brethren. You're removed from those that you once admired, that you once associated with. No, he says, you are removed from him who hath called you. The danger of false doctrine is a terrible danger. Can one stand in a position of being removed from God and have salvation? Can there be a separation between you and God and you still have salvation? We know that the answer to that is no. One cannot be removed from God and have everlasting life. And so Paul says here, right from the outset, you have removed yourselves from God. They had accepted another gospel. Therefore, they were removed from him. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 7 and following, Paul said, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. The persuasion not to believe, not to obey the truth, didn't come from God who called you, Paul says. And so if it didn't come from God, it must have come from men. In 2 John chapter 1 and verse 9, John warns of the dangers of false doctrine. He says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. And he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. You see, we cannot have a relationship with God and abide in false doctrine. We must abide in the doctrine of Jesus Christ. God had called them with the true gospel. That is how God calls anyone to Christ, to obedience. It's with the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Verse 14, he says, wherefore he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this calling, as Paul mentions in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, is a high calling. They had exchanged the high calling of God and accepted a different calling. The calling of false doctrine. The calling of another gospel. But I want you to notice that they were not only removed from God, but they were removed from God's grace. He says that they had been removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. You see, God's calling, the true gospel of Jesus Christ, causes one to obey the gospel and then abide in the grace of God. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. God gives us unmerited favor, though we don't deserve it. But it's among the spiritual blessings found only in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 2 and following. The scripture says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. when we are removed from God. Because we have accepted another gospel, we have been also removed ourselves from God's grace. Can we go to the judgment day without God's grace? Can we stand before God righteous from God's point of view without the grace of God, without God's unmerited favor? We cannot. We need God's grace. But when we accept another doctrine, if we accept another gospel, we remove ourselves from the grace of God. That's a big deal. So many times we hear people say, well, what's the difference between simply singing to God and using instruments? What's the difference between observing the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week and every day of the week? What's the difference between preaching from this book and preaching some creed book or some motivational speech? What's the difference, people say? The difference is when one abides in another doctrine, they remove themselves from the grace of God. And when one removes themselves from God and His grace, they cannot have everlasting life. It cannot be done. If we remove ourselves from God by accepting another gospel, we remove ourselves from grace. Consider Galatians chapter 5, verses 3 and following. Paul says that very thing. He says, "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace." It's possible, brethren. It's possible for us to be faithful, to accept the rudiments of the world, a false doctrine, and fall from the grace of God. You might say, well, it sounds like you believe that you are able to earn God's grace. The scripture tells us that God's grace is truly free, Romans chapter 3, verses 23 and following. Nonetheless, God has set forth commandments in the true gospel of Jesus Christ that we must do in order to receive that grace. It's not earned. It never can be earned. The works of men cannot earn God's grace, but yet God has said He gives it to those who are obedient. Consider Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and following. There we see that baptism isn't considered, from God's point of view, to be a work of men. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and following. He says, "But after the kindness and love of God, our Savior towards men appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us." By what? By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's speaking of baptism there. You can't be saved by the works of men, by works of righteousness, but you must be baptized. He continues and he says, "Which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Not only had they removed themselves from God and from His grace, they had removed themselves by another gospel in a speedy fashion. It appears from Galatians that there were some that were trying to bind the old law on Christians. In other words, you must follow the New Testament, but also the Old Testament as well. They were demanding that this be done. If you look at Acts chapter 15, verses 1 and 5, and Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 and 6, you'll see that. Paul refuted this notion, this false doctrine, on many occasions. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. He says that these feasts and the old law have been nailed to the cross. And the conclusion is, "Let no man therefore judge you concerning these things." but they remove themselves in a speedy fashion. Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed. It didn't take long, brethren. It didn't take 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years for them to be removed from God and from His grace by another doctrine. They were speedily removed. And Paul marveled. That word marvel is surprise at something that is blameworthy. We probably all heard such marvel from our parents at one point in time. Those of us that are younger, it's probably a fresher memory. But I would guess that all of us have probably heard a phrase like, are you serious? I cannot believe that you have done this. You have outdone yourself this time. Just when I thought you couldn't be any more foolish. That's basically what Paul is saying here. I marvel. I'm surprised that you are so speedily removed from the true gospel of Jesus Christ. It didn't take long. And if it didn't take long for these brethren, it doesn't need to take long for us either. We must make sure that we never accept another gospel. But not only had they been removed from God, but they were troubled by men. Verse 7. He says, which is not another, speaking of this other gospel. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Notice first of all that false teachers had troubled them. That word trouble means to agitate, to shake, to stir up, to ignite. In Ezekiel chapter 32 and verse 2, a similar word is used. And there, Ezekiel is told to be one that is fierce with the gospel. And he says, thou art as a whale in the seas, and thou comest forth with thy rivers, and troublest the waters with thy feet, and foulest the rivers. Have you ever walked through a creek or some body of water, and as you step, you see the dirt come up, the sand? Once water that was clear becomes murky and dark and dirty, it was troubled. It was stirred up. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 3, the same word is used when Herod the king heard of Christ and what was being done. He was troubled with all of Jerusalem. In Matthew chapter 14 and verse 26, as Christ walked on water, the scripture says that the disciples were troubled. Paul says here, you've been troubled by men. Shaken up in mind by men who had taught them false doctrine. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 19, Paul speaks about those that had made their faith shipwrecked. Their faith was troubled. It was stirred up. It was ignited. When false doctrine is permitted to be preached, and when it is accepted, let it be known, brethren, that it does not demonstrate that one is enlightened in mind or strong enough in their faith that they can hear other ideas. It demonstrates a weakness of faith. It demonstrates an instability of faith. Oftentimes, those who call on false teachers to walk in the old paths are accused of being troublemakers, troubling men. But such is not so. In 1 Corinthians chapter 18 and verse 17, the scripture says, it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troublest Israel? No. He was bringing the true gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to be careful. We need to be careful because the brethren here, they accepted this false doctrine, this other doctrine, did they not? They didn't feel troubled in mind, shaken in faith. If they had felt that way, Paul wouldn't have had to have written to them. They would have confronted the false doctrine. They were troubled without even knowing it. They weren't enlightened. They were troubled in faith. False teachers had perverted the gospel. He says, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ, first of all, we must note, can be perverted. It can be twisted, wrested to the destruction of those that twist it. It is perverted when it is changed. And when it is changed, it's no longer the gospel. Brethren, these false teachers didn't change the entire gospel. They still were, quote unquote, accepting the New Testament, but they wanted to add and bind the Old Testament, the old law, on men. They didn't change it completely, but yet it was perverted. And it was no longer the gospel. It was another gospel. And brethren, the same is true today. When one preaches that instrumental music is acceptable, the gospel becomes another gospel. And the same is true with any false doctrine. But one might say, what is the problem with other gospels? Aren't they all going to take us to the same place? Aren't they all under the umbrella of Christianity? Won't we all be saved regardless of our beliefs? Paul talked about this in Galatians, specifically accepting or binding the old law on Christians. In chapter 2 and verse 4, he says, another gospel brings one back into bondage, the bondage of sin. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, he says, another gospel cannot bring about justification before God. In chapter 3 and verse 10, he says, another gospel puts man under the curse of the law. In chapter 5 and verse 1, he says, another gospel entangles men. And then in chapter 5 and verse 1, he says, another gospel causes one to fall from grace. And so when we ask ourselves, what's the big deal? Let me suggest to you, it's a tremendous deal. That all of the things said about this other gospel in Galatia can be said of any false doctrine. Doesn't any false doctrine bring one back into the bondage of sin? They cannot be justified by it. They put man under the curse of the law, entangles man in sin again, and causes them to fall from grace. Isn't that true? Indeed it is. But finally in verses 8 and 9, those that preach another gospel are accursed of God. In verse 8 he says, but though we or any angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have preached unto, or than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. First of all, apostles, we, he says, if we preach another gospel, let us be accursed. That word accursed is the strongest curse that can be uttered. And it means to be yielded up to the wrath of God, surrendered to the wrath of God, dedicated to destruction. As Christians, we are to dedicate ourselves to God that we might have salvation. Paul says here, those that preach another gospel, whether it be an apostle or an angel from heaven, let him be accursed. Anyone who preaches another gospel, he says in verse 9, let him be accursed. The gospel is fixed, brethren. The same gospel that was preached then is the gospel that must be preached and accepted now. It's not something that can be added to or subtracted from or altered in any way. Those that do so, Paul says, let them be accursed. Let them have destruction upon them. And those that accept false doctrine, isn't it true that they will receive destruction as well? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9, we're told that the Lord will come in a flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot change it. We must accept it as it is. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, Paul told Timothy to commit what? The same doctrine to faithful men. The same words that you have heard from me, he said. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, he tells Timothy, make sure that no other doctrine is taught. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 18, the scripture says, let no man add to these things, lest the plagues be upon him. We must abide in the apostles' doctrine. The same doctrine that was taught of old, we must abide in the old paths. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, on the day of Pentecost, when many were baptized into Christ, added to the Lord's church, the scripture says that they continue steadfastly in what? In their own doctrine, steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, in prayers. The gospel is perfect. It doesn't need to be changed or altered in any way. God uses this book to call one to Christ. Are you ready? Are you ready to be added to the body of Christ? In order to do so, you must hear the word of God, Romans 10:17. That's the only way to produce faith. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That belief is an active belief. It causes you to then repent of your past sins, turning away from them and turning to Christ. Confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God, unashamed, willing then to accept Him as both Lord and Savior, you are then baptized into Christ. Likened unto Christ's death, you raised to walk in newness of life. Your sins washed away. You're now part of the body of Christ. You now dedicate yourself to abiding in the doctrine. Maybe there are some that have fallen away, have accepted false doctrine, have removed themselves from God and His grace. Come back. Come back to the fold. God will accept you back. He is faithful to forgive you. If you're willing to confess, repent of your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you of those sins. Now's the opportunity. Don't wait. Don't wait to be added to the body of Christ or make yourself right with God. Please come as we stand and sing.